The Isser of Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshol, not to literally put a blind, a stumbling block from a blind person, obviously the obvious way of being over it is literally putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person, yet beyond that, we're all aware that one can just give not just bad advice, but even help somebody machshel in an aveira. The Brisa writes the Mishnah, the Brisa writes the Mishnah Shabbos in a few places, the Bodhisattva Shabbos, a few other places, that if a Nazir asks for wine and you give him wine, so you're over Lifnei Iver as well. If a guy asks for Eivor Menachai, specifically a guy, which is interesting, you can be over Lifnei Iver for giving him the Eivor Menachai. So the Rishonim believe that there are no Malkus for this, and there's a question as to why not. The Rambam writes there are no Malkus because it's a lav shebech lolos. There are many inclusions to it. Exactly what it means is not so clear, but at least probably the fact that you can give bad advice, the fact that you can literally put a blind stumbling block and find in front of a person in many, many averos, worthwhile to think about that for right now. Not for right now. What I wanted to do with the difficulty of the Sefer HaChinuch raises, the Sefer HaChinuch, in the Sefer HaChinuch sheet, rather, the Sefer HaChinuch, says the reason why that there are no Malkus is because it's a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh. In other words, why are there no Malkus in the discussion of the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch? In general, why the Sefer HaChinuch doesn't say like the Rambam is a worthwhile question to think about? In other words, the Rambam makes it because it's a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh. The Sefer HaChinuch doesn't write that. We'll spend 2 seconds briefly sketching that out, although that's not really where I want to spend most of my time today. If the Sefer HaChinuch doesn't hold the Lav Shebech Lolos is the reason to Hatami from Malkus, why might that be? How would you explain that? What's the Sefer HaChinuch? Why is it not a Lav Shebech Lolos?
Then you would also put it in Lav Shebech Lolos, you'd be getting Malkus.
One is you could reject the entire institution of Lav Shebech Lolos. Theoretically, one could suggest that. You have to do a lot more research to see if that's true. Or alternatively, one could suggest. Exactly. In other words, the Rambam makes 2 assumptions. Number one is that we hold the principle of Lav Shebech Lolos. And number two is we apply it to Lifnei Iver. And that's the reason why there are no Malkus. The Sefer HaChinuch could argue either one of those two major assumptions. Either we could say, no, I don't hold the subject principle of Lav Shebech Lolos, Hatmit Mitzvah Malkus. Or I may accept the principle, just not think that Lifnei Iver is subject to that rule. Either one of those possibilities would explain the Sefer HaChinuch disagreeing with the Rambam, and neither one of those I want to talk about today, although it's worthwhile, at least to a sketch out the conceptual, methodological ways of dealing with it, a lot more research would have to be dealt with. I have to spend a lot more time in Shia than I want to do that, but I do want to speak about the Sefer HaChinuch, and he writes that it's a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh,
even if he literally put it somewhere.
And now the question is, several-fold, even before you get to that, one question, which I will start with that first, I can figure out very simply why the Rambam doesn't say this because it seems to make no sense at all. It's a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh. The rise of the case was, I handed the Nachri a piece of Eivor Menachai. That sounds like a Ma'aseh. I handed the Jew a glass of, the Nazir a glass of wine. That sounded like a Ma'aseh. And certainly, if we're talking about literally putting the block in front of it. Now, maybe once it goes, so it's a worthwhile question, that maybe somehow the stumbling block would follow 99% of the cases, maybe. But the Menachas Chinuch has a very difficult time trying to figure out why this is the case, as well as many other opponents do. How can anyone argue that Lifnei Iver is a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh? Seemingly, it's difficult. It's difficult for me to imagine a case where there is no mice at all. Almost every case has a mice. Now, conceptually speaking, methodologically speaking, if I wanted to analyze this Shiloh, what would I want to talk about? What topics would I want to investigate, look into, think about? Yeah. Number one is what is a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh? If I don't understand why Lifnei Iver is a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh, it's either because I totally misunderstood what a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh is. You thought it meant physical actions. I don't know what you thought it was. No, you totally misunderstood everything. And that may require some analysis. What I want to speak about, and again, I'm open to that possibility. What I want to speak about is, what is Lifnei Iver? And again, anytime you ever misunderstood somehow why Lifnei Iver, something, if you drew the conclusion that Lifnei Iver should be a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh, should not be a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh. Either you misunderstood something about Lifnei Iver, and you have to reinterpret it, rethink it, redefine it, or you misunderstood something about Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh. And again, if we had much more time, maybe we'd even explore different ways of understanding or conceptualizing what Lao Shan Guan Mai say is, being that we only have about 45 minutes now, we're going to focus on this Lao Shan and try our best to analyze and understand, open up the sugya to what is Lao Shan in general, and hopefully we'll develop enough of Yisod or several Yisodas that either the one we've established or the seven that we develop can be used to reapply, to be reapplied in the Lao Shan Guan Mai. Or move on to the Shmigula with me. In other words, anytime you come across a sheet that Sefer Chinuch that says, you know, listen, even not a lot of Shema Maisa, number one, it doesn't make any sense. And first, intuitively, the answer is no, of course there has a Maisa, and therefore it requires either reinterpreting Lav Shema Maisa, which we're not going to do today, or reinterpreting Lifnei Iver, which we spend a lot of time doing today. What is Lifnei Iver? How do I define it? How do I violate it? What is the heart of the Sugya of Lifnei Iver? One, two, one.
I thought you were going to another group.
That's okay.
Yeah, I thought that you were
going to
talk about more
about Shema Maisa. There is a, you remind me outside, that's a fair Sugya. Tomorrow, I got a busy night, and I have a busy day tomorrow. But, you know, but if you want later on the week, if you feel like it's important enough, or we can think about it, talk about it, you know, brainstorm a little bit. I'd love to spend time doing that with you. But that definitely is a legitimate approach. It just wouldn't be two legitimate approaches, and intuitively, focus
on
stuff.
What is
the
thing that was in my
trouble?
It was, like, a question
of fine, good, two.
Just
wondering, what's the Rashi Malk? What? It sounds like it's a lot, there are many examples fall into this category. For some reason, you don't get Malkus for that. What would be many examples that fall into it? Maybe giving bad advice, maybe looking to put the block down, maybe offer some other available. It's not crystal clear what the Rambam means. And again, if I spent more time dealing with the Rambam, I would, you know, and not that your question doesn't deserve a lot more time. It's just that I want to speak about Lifnei Iver today, and I kind of using Sefer Chinuch as a hook to just show us how little we understand about Lifnei Iver. Now we're trying to understand a lot about Lifnei Iver, but I'll bring it back to the Sefer Chinuch. Okay. There's an important Gemara in Mesachet over here, Sanhedrin, which we'll get to in 2 seconds. We'll get to it now.
It's fine.
The Gemara is found in Ayin Dalim. The truth is, the Gemara doesn't directly deal with Lifnei Iver, but I just think that many Achronim use this Gemara to open up the Sugya of Lifnei Iver, Lachan and Lassen use it, Salvation, many others. Take a look, I put a little bracket for it, a little bracket type of thing, which says, Baha, Esther, Pahesia, Havia, is that? First one line is Asar, there's a little Yud there, it's that, the third way down the page, 2 or 3 lines after Baha, and then it's something after Baha. Okay. So we're going to read the Gemara quickly. Vaha Esther Parhesia Hava. The Gemara is just, in terms of context, the Gemara has just spoken about the three major cardinal Averos, the Shalosh, Averos, Chamuros, that is the din of Yavor, Yarov, Yavor. Usually the rule of thumb is if someone tells you to do an Avera, you should violate the Avera and not die if your life is put on the line. For instance, I'll shoot you. You don't need to beat the pig. Beat a piece of pig, Yavor, Val Yahareh. However, there are three major examples of Yarov, Val Yavor. In addition to the famous big three, the two other halakhas, one is called Shas Hashmad, and one is called Bifarhesi. But Shas Hashmad, and, you know, the time of evil decrees with the secular state is decreeing evil things against the Jews, so not only would you give up your life for the big three, but it'd be any of them out there, as well as the Farhesi, it's a public, well-known thing. And the Gemara then goes ahead and says, how do you know what's a public, what's the public thing? And the Gemara says, it's dominion, but by the Ega, we learn out a whole thing. Good. Then the Gemara says, is that really true? But Farhesia, the din of Yagbal Yavar, well, Esther Farhesia Hava, wasn't Esther the Farhesia. Everyone knew that Esther was with Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus took all of the stulos and gathered them together in a big party, took the most attractive one to marry her. That's the Farhesia. No one thought he was just playing Parcheesi with her. You might be that, you know, anything about Ahasuerus, you know, or even that. But anyway, Christopher, he was violating Yisurim with her, and she was violating Yisurim back. So how in the world can they do that if the Farhesia? So before you can get any further, people ask, they point out the Farhesia, there are other potential things that she did wrong. After all, there's a good chance she was married to Mordechai. The Gemara makes the whole deal. Bayis, Bas, the Gemara Chazal have a whole tradition based upon Sukkim, exactly where it came from, it's not so clear. The end of the day, Mordechai was married to Esther. If that's really the case, then not only is it the Farhesia, even if it would be Farhesia, it still would be Eishes Ish. So Achronim have a whole discussion about that, why the Gemara didn't answer that question. In other words, is it that the Gemara couldn't have asked that question because it's not really Eishes Ish? And many Achronim write, there's no such thing as Eishes Ish for the guy. If you sleep with a guy, there's no din of Eishes Ish. There's only Eishes Ish for the Jew. And other Rishonim, right? No, there is Eishes Ish with a guy. It just happens to be. The Gemara chose this question over the other one for whatever reason why. If anyone's interested, this is a Machlokas today in Ksubas on Daf Gimel on the base. Discussion comes to right over there. There's major halachic nafkimina that once I was unbelievable. Just I'll take a quick interesting detour just for 2 seconds. There's a shiloh that came up. I told you guys, I'm comparing this Hashem to Raja. They're out for the base. The 10 most wild shilohs I've ever seen in my life. I think we'll even give it Rosh Chodesh Adar. It was on the third day of this year, we'll see. And in it, there was a following shiloh. There's 40 girls here in Israel. Maybe Ginsburg Scott or something. And, what? I know. That's part of the joke. In any event, what's it called? So, this Hardy girl, she speaks, she works for the Mossad, she looks like an Arab, she speaks to an Arabic, and they asked her to sleep with an Arab guy, she's married, and to videotape it, and this way they could use it to bribe terrorists, you know, bribe them to give over information. Is that more different? She doesn't keep Shabbos, she's not that from, she's like, listen, there's certain things that I'm doing, one of the nation's issues. Halachically, it's a mutter. Like if the rabbi tells me it's mutter, like a good sporty girl, true. If the rabbi tells me it's mutter, I'm willing to do it. But if not, not. I'm not going to, you know. Unbelievable shiloh. So the first question is it Eishes Ish? You know what the answer is? It's Machlok today. You know, if he's Jewish, it's Eishes Ish. If he's not Jewish, there's a lot more room to talk. Okay. Leave that discussion with Sack and Sack. In other words, in any event, it's a peripheral point, but it's difficult for me to read a Gemara like this and not analyze it along the way, even though it's not where I want to get to just yet. The Gemara asks, perhaps you have it. Is that the only question they could have asked because a guy is not Eishes Ish, or is it just the best question? Fine. Rabaye Esther Karka Olam Haisa. What does that mean? Esther was Karka Olam. Not clear exactly what that means. Not clear exactly what that means. The stand-up shot that Tosfos says, and many others say she was strictly still, she didn't move, and at the end of the day, if she's totally passive, totally immobile, apparently there's either not Usser or Usser, but not Yared Vayavar, it significantly downgrades the Aver to the point where there's no longer Yared Vayavar. And that's not the only interpretation of Esther Karka Olam Haifa. There's a Nemuk Yosef in the back of Sanhedrin, that's a different chat. This you should be aware of, it's a Nemuk Yosef, right? The Karka Olam over here might not necessarily, it may be that even if she would have said no, she had no choice. Meaning, if it wasn't her, Asher did say, sing with me, I'll kill you. That wasn't her two choices. Esther had one choice, which was, sleep with me. If she would have said no, he just would have slept with her anyway. In which case, Karka Olam means she's not physically impassive, but she has no choices at all. And her naf means to that machlok, but again, it's not my topic, but you have a chance to look up a little bit of these ideas, and you guys, okay. Then Rava says, a separate shot, Rava Omar Hanas Ak Moshaini. So the reason why Esther was mutter is not because of Karka Olam Haisa, rather because of what? Hanas Atman is different. That Ahasuerus wasn't sleeping with her to make a political statement or a religious statement. Ahasuerus called Esther into his palace and made him his wife for one reason and one reason only, which is the same reason he gathered all the beautiful basulas in the world and brought them into his thing, which is Hanas Atman. Now it's unclear exactly, Shamalechem, welcome. Welcome, how you doing? It's unclear exactly as to whether or not Rava is disagreeing on a technical point or on a fundamental point. What do I mean by that? Does Rava disagree with the halacha of Karka Olam? Does he reject the halacha of Karka Olam and therefore has a brand new shot of Hanas Atma? That's one option. Alternatively, Rava could say, do you think Esther made it in Ahasuerus' palace for years and years and years, every single time being Karka Olam? There's no way a king like Ahasuerus would allow for that. How, in other words, it's unclear exactly if Rava disagrees on a halachic level or just on a mitzius level. In other words, Rav, essentially, Abai is making 2 points. Point number one is there's a din of Hanas Atma. Number two is that's what the Heter Esther relied upon. Rav could reject either one of those points. Rav could either say, I disagree in principle with Karka Olam, or I do accept Karka Olam, however what? It's just not the Heter Esther relied upon. Again, whether or not Rav is arguing on what? What were the two possible, in other words, how do we classify those? Is he arguing on the... Yeah, I was, I mean, you're right, I'm looking for the result, right? Exactly, the yisod, but it's the yisum. It's the principle, the concept, or the application. Just like we pointed out the same for chiddush, is he arguing on the Rambam's principle or application, and in the machlokes, it's worthwhile to think about, is he arguing principally, fundamentally, I disagree with the whole yisod, or no, I agree with just not shy of over here. Okay, in any event, here's what I wanted to focus on upon. De'ilo te'mahachi, because if you don't learn like Rava, if you don't suggest the principle of Hanas Atmo Shaini, Hani I'm going to try to pronounce these words correctly. Havoki v'dimoniki. These are different types of avodah zara. As, you know, whatever they are. Hechi yahavina l'ho. How could the Jews have given them to the Goyim? Apparently the Jews took a bunch of the avodah zaras that they had, or things that they had, bowls or different types of things the Jews had, and they gave them to the Goyim to go to the avodah zara. How could the Jews have done that? Elo hanafat moshayni. Hanami hanafat moshayni. Just like the Jews were mutter, that everyone passing that the Jews can give the Goyim all sorts of props to do their avodah zara, so too, what? And because it was hanaf atma, they weren't showing the Jews our religion's better than yours. In other words, if the Jew wanted to go into the Christmas tree selling business, good shaylah, that, you know, that halachically mutter. So the truth is it probably isn't, but this is a separate case. Here the Goyim were willing to kill them, in mamash, in other words, if you don't give us these Christmas trees, we're going to kill you, and then what? So the din is, since the Goyim are not trying to make a religious political statement that our religion is correct and your religion is wrong, in other words, that's not because it's Hanaf Atzman, that's the reason why they're doing it. They want to celebrate, you know, the Christmas season with their families and have a tree and gifts under it and have the kids wake up and, you know, chocolate chip cookies and milk and whatever else is going on, you know, and Santa drinking a Coca-Cola. They want to basically create a Christmas environment. If that's the case, it's Hanaf Atzman shiny. And therefore, if a guy says to you, cut me down a Christmas tree, I'll kill you. If it's a black guy based upon this Gemara, it's totally one. However, there is a major soft spot in this Raya, which if you think about it for 2 seconds, hopefully you'll have it. There's a major jump the Gemara makes, which is?
It's like a catch to the Parhesia problem. You said originally that you have this issue of Parhesia, we're saying, oh, once it's Hanaf Atzman, it's totally like, you know, what's it called? Totally gets around it. The question is, either way, for everyone else watching it, it's still going to be the same.
That could be. There could be. It's unclear. I hear that point, though. It would Hanaf, everyone out there that is Hanaf Atzman, it could be talk in this case they actually did know. There's a good chance they actually did know in such a case. You know, I'm not, but it could be a fair point. If the Parhesia, must you solve the problem in the Parhesia way? Also, it's a fair point to think about, but it's not the major problem I had in this game, it's another problem we're trying to pick up.
Why does it necessarily show that Esther 2 was relying on Hanaf Atzman?
You're right. It's not proving, I guess it's interesting. In other words, the Raya proved the principle of Hanaf Atzman, not that Esther used it per se. And I guess maybe one could think it's a value, does he agree or disagree? If he does agree with the principle, maybe it's true. In other words, maybe the Raya is proving the Yisod opposed to the Yisod. The Raya is proving that this did exist, not that Esther relied upon it. That's a fair point as well. There's another point, which is, were the Jews doing the avodah zara? What were they doing? Yeah, they were just helping somebody out. You know what you call that? The slave. At the end of the day, the guy said to the Jew, please give me all of your materials, whatever it is. Give me all the bowls I want to set up in front of my avodah zara and serve my God. Now the guy would take to the Jew, bow down to the avodah zara, then what? Could be a major problem. Maybe the Hanaf Atzman would be ahead, but I don't know. Sounds like that. But the Goyim aren't doing that. What are the Goyim doing in this particular case? They're saying, enable us to violate the avodah zara. So the Rishonim were bothered by what? Which one of the big three cardinal areas did they violate? They only violated Lifnei Iver. So the truth is, you know, where is the Lifnei Iver over here? The truth is there's two major mahalas. One is the Ramban and the Ran and Rov Rishon, the Ritzvah, and the other Rishon as well. If you take a look at the copy, just take a look at the Melchamis. The Ramban in the back of Sanhedrin. And the Melchamis. It's on page Yud Ches, Nadafei Harif. If you have I put out two sheets. If you have a second one, it's out there. If you have one, you know, I kind of got messed up with the photocopy machine. Sometimes I made front and back, sometimes I made two separate sheets. Sometimes I have a little black on the back of one sheet, a little white on the back of another sheet. I was not successful when I photocopying skills today. But nonetheless, I think the sugi is a good sugi, so you'll have to look at the bright side. In any event, take a look at the Balamar. I'm sorry, the Machamis first. The Ramban, 5 or 6 lines up in the bottom, I put like a little bit of a pencil mark there, like a little, you know. V'kaki v'damuniki, see over there, first line is the Olam, it's about 5 or 6 lines up. Shar averis ninhu, ein yisur mishum lavi avodah zara, ela mishar chiyuvei lavin shebatara. And he mishum v'lifnei iver lo yitain mershok hiritnan l'hashilam v'lishol mehem shari lo avduhein atzman. The Jews never did a avodah zara. The Jews never you know, bow down to the idol. Rather, it's one of the other avodas zara. For example, if neivah. V'lo nagum, v'lo nehenu me'avodah zara v'klum, ela b'far hes yahava. According to the Ramban, why was there a din of yarek v'yavor? Why is this a good raya? Because of what? In other words, what avera were they doing? They were doing lifnei iver, but lifnei iver b'far hesya had the din of yarek v'yavor. And that truth is, there's a very nice advantage to that, which is, that's exactly what, you know, what the previous gemara, exactly. That's exactly what the question was. Can Esther really do something b'far hesya? The answer is, yeah, Hanav Datma is allowed one to violate an avera b'far hesya. And I'll prove to you that averos b'far hesya have a heter of Hanav Datma, which is, this case exactly of giving over the bowls and lights and key lights and whatever it is to the Vodafone. However, if you look at the Balamar, is very similar but slightly different. Take a look at the Balamar. The last line is Vechain. I got a little mark there as well. It says the Balamar, it's about, say, 10 lines down. Vechain, Nami, Koki, Vidamaniki, Yahave, Lehu, Vipalche, Behu, Lebe, Nura, Shu, Baisla, Vodazar, Sharila, Hano, Satman. Rabbil b'shas hashmat hilka nachris nami to kaon soleil levar yisrael laveira lahanafat mu v'yaver v'yavor v'al yahareg v'afilu b'far hesya afilu b'shas hashmat. One second. Rapa gav dam rav ein onus be. Second, is where I wanted. Second, where is this? This is not exactly where I wanted. One second. I put a little mark there. My apologies. Yeah, sorry, it is good. Again, v'chein nami kokai v'damaniki v'yavina lu v'palchi v'hu l'beinu reshehu b'ayis l'avor zara shari l'hanos atma. And he writes out, even if it's afilu shas hashmad, etc., etc., and afilu v'farhesi, etc., etc., but the point is it doesn't have to be. According to the Baal Amar, what's the implication? In other words, you don't need the Bahesia Shas Hashmat to trigger the Shora, this unbelievable din, which is that there's a, according to the Baal Amar, the Shora, list the Eber to a Avodah Zarah had what? A din of Yarek Bayar. In other words, even if it wouldn't be the Bahesia, even if it wouldn't be the Shas Hashmat, nonetheless, if I give over a Avodah Zarah to a Goy, to serve, there's a din of Yarek Vayavar on the Lifnei Iver for Avodah Zarah, which is an unbelievable chiddush. So shocking that you should ask one question. How in the world is that possible? How in the world can anyone imagine, if it's not the Far Hesya and it's not Shas Hashma, then we have a principle that there only are three grave cardinal sins, the Gimel Chamuros. Maybe I'm going to use the word cardinal. I don't know if that's it. You know? The cardinal sins, the big three of Eretz, and I was like looking for the Lashon cardinal of Rishon, I didn't find it anymore. Then there were definitely, in the Rishon, they called the Gimel Chamuros. Yili Arayis, Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Dama, but the Eretz is not one of them. There's a discussion of Yuvayish, Chaver, and Rabin, would that have been a Yarek Vayavar? So really like me, so maybe it's, maybe if they include that under Yarek, whatever. But no one thinks, let's say, Eretz, what's going on with this Baal Amar? So far, so good? Good. Question number two. Question number one is the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch number two is the Baal Amar and Ramban. What's behind this machlokes? The truth is Ramban, I understand very well. The real question is, what's the svara for the what's it called? For the Baal Amar. Nu, Rabbo Sevedi Tani, who has the pshat? What's the svara for the Baal Amar? What understanding potentially out there could be used to develop a svara for the Baal Amar, yeah?
I can't entirely understand the pain either. In this situation, you're facilitating someone to buy it. You could possibly know facilitating is as if you're buying it.
Yeah, we'll sharpen it a little bit, exactly. What? Why is acknowledging it? I'm actually already acknowledging it, meaning, in other words, I'm not sure what the either means you're acknowledging it or just means you're setting someone up to do something. But why is acknowledging it?
Acknowledging it
really old. I'm actually really acknowledging it. I'm going to finish more for a second, which is as follows. And it's a great point. Anytime, great methodological example. Anytime you have an isser, like Lifnei Iver, let me give you more examples in a minute. What to ask is Lifnei Iver, when I facilitate, I enable X, Y, and Z to do the Avera, is the being machshio. Is that the isser? When I violate Lifnei Iver, is it that I'm being machshio someone? Is that I am creating a stumbling block, I'm putting something in front of them, I'm enabling them to do an Avera? It's the giving them of the opportunity, it's the assistance, the enabling, the aiding and abetting which creates the isser. But it's my own independent isser called Lifnei Iver. Alternatively, one can suggest that I get a chelek in the avera of the other guy. In other words, when I give my wine to another, another drinks it. I didn't violate the isser of Lifnei Iver, but rather what avera did I violate? Nezirus. In other words, when I enable the avera of the same mosh, if I was to give everything I would and go give stuff to the hotel, but you please help me out, and I helped him out, you know what I would say? I deserve some of that mitzvah. Or do I deserve chesed? It's a different mitzvah. That's exactly what we're talking about. And then I went to the Rebbe, who said, you know, I hated the Rebbe when I was in fourth grade, fifth grade, out of public school. And I what's it called? After school, I am not ashamed of the guy. I didn't like him at all. He was like one of the reasons he turned me off. You know, from Judaism. I'm like totally disinterested. And I ended up actually years and years and years later. And I see him, like, I was in Lakewood, just in my to go there, like, in high school, who was in a break. He's like, oh, you know. I get a lot of credit for you. Just kind of smiled and nodded, you know? You know, but like, his, even though he was totally wrong, he had thought, you know, that type of thing, he gets like a chiluk in the middle, you know what I mean? So, Bekitzer, take that up a there with the inverse. What's going on with the inverse? Is it that the Isser is being, is it enabling someone to do the Avera, or is it I get a chiluk in the middle? In other words, he wasn't able to do the mitzvah, the avera rather, without my help. So being that I helped him in it, part of the avera is attributed to me. If that's correct, l'choro, which shita makes it, which, how does it come out? Well, which way is the Ramban, which way is the Balamar? Yeah, the Ramban is definitely going to go this way, and the Balamar is going to go this way, I'll explain why. According to the Ramban, it's impossible for anything, you can't get yard by yavra on the Ta'id, or unless it, if Arhesia, unless it's Shah Hashmad, because Lifnei Iver is an independent Isser called Lifnei Iver. However, according to the Baal Amar, if I'm getting part of your Avera, so if a guy does a Bodhisattva, if I'm Lifnei Iver to that Bodhisattva, I get part of that Bodhisattva, the Baal Amar can actually say a second step, which is not only do I get a chelek of his Avera, but I eat that chelek even carries with it certain dinim of the original Avera. For example, Yarin Bal Yavar. Lamasha. We spoke about Hidra Mitzvah. What questions here? We got it, ready? We put the famous question discussed by Hidra Mitzvah. Is there an independent mitzvah called Hidra Mitzvah? Or does Hidra somehow enrich and enhance the original mitzvah that I do? When I wear a nice tefillin, do we get two checks in the box or do I get a check plus? Is that one is for tefillin and one is for Hidra Mitzvah? Or even I get a check for tefillin for the check plus because they're nice to them. Does Hidra Mitzvah have its own identity or just does it aid and abet? Does it assist the Avera? Does it enhance them? Does it enrich them? So I'd like to suggest something over here. Is Lifnei Iver an independent issue or is it just a way of being Messiah, a way of offering assistance to, taking partnership of the Avera? In other words, together we're partners in this Avera. I assisted you, you got the goal. I got the assist, you got the goal. That could be this machlokas. The machlokas, the Ramban, the Baal Amar. Now again, everyone who's going to hold to this might not have to go as far as the Baal Amar, though. Just because you get a chelek in the Avera doesn't mean you have the all the dinim of the existence. In other words, I would say it differently. The Baal Amar is going to have two assumptions over here. Number one is, how do I understand Lifnei Iver? It's a chelek v'avera. And number two is, to the point that what? Therefore, yesh did shell Yavor. Now, the Machamis can argue probably on the first assumption, that's why most Achronim learn, the Salvechik probably argue the first assumption, and the Basman has to be like that also. There's a safer heaven at home called the Atarat Yaakov. He also thinks it's on the first assumption. The first assumption is the major Hakir, although, again, my point is, I'm going to show you several other Rishonim out there who may, per se, agree with this Tzad HaKira, but might not necessarily extend all to the distinction between 13 and 15. And this is the reason why I'm doing this, because I want, and also because a lot of guys are pushing this issue and whatnot. The standard risk of develops two possibilities. I told you I have a good friend named a schoolmaker who was one by Raphael Freeman in the mirror. He used to always yell at the risk of at the end of the day, if you have enough milk, it's Valamar versus Ravan, and you have 8 more sheep in this way and 8 more sheep in that way. If every one of you sure don't agree to this Valamar, you run into a major problem. But if this is really the spark for the Valamar, you're saying it's the spark for 8 other people, but they don't accept every, they don't all accept each other's. That's a major problem. Therefore, the solution to that, he's correct, that the Balamor is not just the Chilik Ravero, but an extreme version that is the Yarek Balya. You can imagine someone holding that, if you did a Chilik Ravero, and I have a stick, and I get some. Credit is the wrong word. I have some responsibility for the Avera of Avodah Zarah, but it might not necessarily be enough to carry the din of Yahweh while Yahweh. That may be only on the Boel. The guy who does the physical Maisa, again, won't get a measure, but this is definitely the Hakira that should explain this Makos and Balamar. And Rabbi, let's take around the questions. I'll shoot out 3 or 4 major Nafkaninas, and then we'll take this back to the Sura Tekta. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1.
How about
the
Balamar
to connect with the Denver? Oh, yeah? Denver, correct. Yeah, Denver. Look at that. Yeah.
Is the Balamar tied to the Yahweh?
Does what?
Is the Balamar tied to the Yahweh? Well, you can say
it. I'm not sure about the team, though. It's a great question. We'll see. It's a great question. That's exactly the question. Are there any other team that you carry out over this? In other words, let's just say we can break apart the violator of the Avera from his great guy. Let's say I set you up to do an Avera on Shabbat, but you're totally the show here. You're totally bold. Right? Would I violate the favor? Would it be as good? Not as good? Do it with me. It looks like you're putting bones. Is that violent favor? So it could be if I, let's say I intentionally or mouth show you, but at the end of the day, or better yet, in other words, we're not breaking out of isolation of two people, but you're asking the right question. We'll discuss several other examples.
My question like, if you're a coach and you're the favorite to help another point, be popular, right? Is that when you be that popular?
So I assume you probably would not be, but you would be, you would have violated the caliph in that area, you probably would not have a coach. So maybe you would be an unbelievable coach. An unbelievable coach, I find it difficult to imagine. And if you set up a guy, let's say you're a Kohen and you give Yisrael true Matki. You tell him it's not true. Or you tell him it is true Matki, who cares what? You're right?
Yeah.
So you yourself, in other words, if you're being mashed or somebody, certainly you're over. However, if it's a chilek in the Avera, maybe one could argue, it's not so bad because how can a Kohen have an Avera of Zarish Akal Truma? You have to be a. I'm not convinced that's an Afghanina, but conceptually that's an interesting question to think about. Two, yes. That's going to be great, but we want to find out. I understand. Maybe we're going to find you, and I should just enable my
guy.
According to the Balamar, I'm not bothered with the Maisa because that was a sheet I understood. I think you're on the right track, and I'm going to cut you off now. I'm with you. The other side is going to answer, but it can be a true example of that. Yeah, sorry, that's 20 minutes. I think that's what I'm going
with. Going back to your example before, you helped me violate Shabbat, you could be violated as well.
You probably wouldn't be Chayav Skila. However, here's a great example. If I help you violate Shabbos, yeah? So there's an interesting thing that's asking you guys that information. Here's another application to the Shabbos. There's a Kibayk in that thing. The Kibayk are one to know the following here. So you think my book between post-post and post-post, Yeshanim, you start to Shabbos and Abgim, but without getting into the details of what they say, we'll trust them, right? But the Kibayk are the following here. Back on the commission. Let's say somebody comes to my house and I say I have kosher food for you. What's it in? kosher. You trust me. And you know, halacha called enach hanem mitzvah. As long as I keep kosher and keep Shabbos, I have enach hanem mitzvah. If let's say, you want to know, if let's say, I don't know, there's been a Russia's truma. As long as there's truma and Shabbos. A person has enach hanem mitzvah, assuming A, he keeps the halacha, that particular one we're talking about, that being looked at. And everything has to keep Shabbos. If a person is a mumer l'davracha, he's mumer l'davracha. If a person is mumer l'avodazara or mumer l'shabbos, he's mumer l'kol tarchu. Let's say I help Ginsburg violate Shabbos via this neighbor. Now you won't eat in my house. Are you allowed? The neighbor said, if l'neiver is this or called l'neiver, I'm totally good for Shabbos. I'm totally good for kashrus. However, if with the Yisr is a Kalim in Yisr, and the particular Yisr is an Yisr of Shabbos, then L'chora, I'm a Mumer, L'chav Shabbos, which makes me a Mumer across the board, and you couldn't rely on me, so that's going to be a Yisr, for example. And that's Nafkamina number two. Nafkamina number one would be the Nachlok of Balamar and the Ramban. Nafkamina number two is Nachlok of Rebekibe. It's these two possibilities. It's been close to the Shine Rebekibe, but yeah. You definitely would not get Nisa for it. I assume that. Now, even according to the Balamar, even if it's in the Akbal Yavar, you wouldn't get killed for it, I don't think. I don't think even according to the Balamar. In the Balamar,
what you're suggesting is further over, and I don't think anyone's going to go this far, that Imam should carry over the same moment. I don't think we want to go that far. I could have, again, if someone would suggest it, that'd be this far. Intuitively, I think it's way too far to go, and I think the reason why, in order to get the full onesh, you're going to have to be the full Bala Bebe. That'd be my suggestion. And that's why I think it's far, although I can imagine it, I find it difficult to imagine, I find it difficult to I did a lot of research, but I don't think you're going to find it. But if you would, that would have to be smart. But conception, that's the extreme version of it. I just don't think you're going to find it anywhere. Yeah?
Then the person that actually might have been talking to you is like,
maybe not. Maybe, I can imagine that also. But more likely, I would suggest that, the Baal HaAvera is, even though we're both shifting in the Avera, there's still a bunch of Tadami Baal HaAvera to get the ownership. Meaning, you can work around it, even though, again, in theory, I hear what you're saying, and if someone would say it, that would clearly be the Svara, but I don't think anyone can take it that far.
Yeah.
I think it's
really both, right? There is a feeling
that there is a feeling of Nagar Yama. It could be both. I'm open to that possibility. Just
bring me a line that both exist. I think this is Mara Bodhisattva, where it talks about all these, doing that work, whatever shows kind of thing, like just throwing a rock and all you have to get the same. That's how you do it. Those kind of there, so wouldn't you be, you get lashes and you have to do the karma. Therefore,
implying
that it's both.
You know what? You'll show me the Gemara Bodhisattva. I could be right. I could imagine both, but I have to see more. You'll show me the Gemara talk about. I'll look at your example. Okay, just a few more quick nap minutes before we decide back home. Let's say a person does lift neighbor to enable someone to, I do lift neighbor, instead of enabling you or assisting you to do an Avera, I'm over lift neighbor that you should not do a mitzvah sase, a mitzvah mitzvah sase. Which suggests such a theory. You with me? In other words, I give you food outside of Sukkot time, or I really wish I could have a sandwich right now. I know it's Sukkot time, but I don't care. I'm gonna wash and make a bracha on it, but I want to eat that kind of Sukkot. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I can't remember that.
Well, I'm not saying that it should be over.
If what?
Of course, that.
And with machshil, certainly less not the poem, right? In other words, you're definitely being machshil, the guy you're giving him a situation to trip up on, to make a mistake on. However, if it's a chelik in the avera, then what? Unclear. One could imagine listening to Eber being a chelik in any bad religious behavior, including a bitul mitzvah saseh. One could also imagine listening to Eber only being a chelik in halachically and avera. Correct, I agree. There's a machlokas 2 days in Tosos. Tosos in Maseches Chagiga versus Tosos in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Tosos in Maseches Avodah Zarah is on the Daf Chaf Beis, and Chagiga is on Yud Gimel. As to whether or not if I machshel you in a very derabbanan, do I violate the name of derabbanan or deraisa? You hear the question? Let's say I give you chicken and cheese. Chicken and cheese, we assume, is an issue derabbanan. Good? But let's say I give you cold meat. and cheese, which is also listed in Rabbanim. In order to violate Bishol, in order to violate Achila, Bas, Machal, Darais, it has to be Mevushal, it has to be cooked. So if I give you cold meat, a cold salami, a cold cheese sandwich to eat, which is a violation of Mitzvah Rabbanim, did I violate Lithneiber Daraisa, or did I violate Lithneiber Darabanim? Machlok through there to post. According to Tosfos in Chagiga and not Yudches, I violate Lithneiber Daraisa. There's a whole deal on how to get there and to read the Tosfos, but I'm shorthanding it right now because we don't have time to look at the Tosfos properly. Mash'en ke Tosfos in Avodah Zarah and not Chavbeis. That I only violated with Lithneiber Darabanim, because how in the world can I violate with Lithneiber Daraisa? The Torah never knew about the Isra of chicken and cheese. Yeah? Anything you want to say?
But, because I can't remember the question of is Mitzvah Darabanim or is Mitzvah Daraisa?
It could. That's what we analyze the Shiloh. This Machlokis, again, I want to understand as to whether or not Lithneiber applies to mitzvot d'rabbanan. It may depend upon the status of mitzvot d'rabbanan. Are they under the rubric of lo tasur? Are they under the umbrella category of lo tasur, like the Rambam writes crystal clear? And who disagrees with that Rambam? The Rambam. The Rambam believes no. It doesn't come under lo tasur. It's merely a d'rabbanan. They have a lower status. We discussed that at length. And maybe one could argue this machlokes depends upon the status of mitzvot d'rabbanan. Lithneiber can only be daraisa. Maybe if you hold a lithneiber, you're over on lithneiber daraisa. That's because, like the Rambam, that mitzvah drabbanan have a daraisa status. That's one way to go. If you believe that you're only on drabbanan because mitzvah drabbanan have a drabbanan, that the other way to go is that depends not upon the nature of mitzvah daraisa, mitzvah drabbanan, but on our hakira, which is correct. Say it over, Sylvia. If you believe.
You're saying the matzah.
You may be saying it, but you definitely say it in a cohesive way. Let's work it through. If the way you're saying, it sounds like you said enough that you thought you said something intelligent, but not cohesive. I feel bad being so brutally honest. If you believe, like the Baal Amar does, that when I violate Lithneiber, I'm getting a chalik in your Aveira, and your Aveira is only Midrabanan, so then certainly what? Yeah, I can't violate Lithneiber. If the whole thing about Lithneiber is I get a chalik in your Isser, and your Isser is Midrabanan, well then the roof is certainly what? Midrabanan. There's only one way to look at that. I couldn't imagine anyone disagreeing with that. However, there's more room to debate, but I can at least understand it. If I believe that the Isser of Lithneiber is being machshil you, I'm not allowed to cause you to, you know, trip on things, whatever it is, then arguably, yeah, it could be, this is considered being machshel you, even though the hachshala, the davar hamuchshel, whatever it is, the stumbling block, is only the rabbanan stumbling block, nonetheless, I'm being machshel you, even on daraisa level. Again, if you hold the machshel spar, you wouldn't have to conclude that Lithneiber is daraisa, but if you hold like Tosfos and Chagiga Daf Yudches, the Lithneiber is daraisa, then the only way to get there would be to suggest that it's a machshel. And I'll say it this way, you know, there are two assumptions of Tosfos and Chagiga and Daf Yudches. Number one is that what? Lithneiber is being machshel. And number two is that, not only is that the case, but even on hachshalos that are derabanan, you can even violate Lithneiber on a daraisa left. And again, I'm not sure the Ramban would necessarily have to agree with that Tosfos. My point is, if you search throughout Shas, you find the Ramban that believes that Lithneiber is, what's it called? Is that Lithneiber is only over the Rabbanan. So you can ask a kasha against all the simple Briscoe models. Because you lined up this way, Tosfos and Tosfos over here. At the end of the day, you expect them to all be in line with each other, but they might not necessarily be in line. For starters, maybe the Ramban is going to hold to this point. Remember correctly? The Ramban has made two assumptions. A, it's a chelik ba'avera, and B, ad kidei kach, that what? That is in a yarko yavo. Maybe the Ramban would even say that, no, it is a chelik ba'avera, but not ad kidei kach, that is yarko yavo. Or, maybe, the Ramban would agree that it is a machshil. That Lithneiber being machshil somebody, however what? not after they pass that the and an issa derabbanan you're being machshel daraisa, even though it's being machshel, it may have to be machshel by a Torah recognized hakshav. And therefore, although the same chakira can be used to apply, to explain both the machlokas from Rabban and Balamor, Rabbi Kibayk is not Kibayk. The machlokas today is in Kosos, Chagiga versus Avodah Zarah, I wouldn't definitively conclude one way or the other. It's far too presumptuous without having a good handle on Shas and Kosos. In other words, if you want to do a significant research, you look through all the sugyas, look if the neighbor comes up and figure out which is the emes pshat in the Ramban, that'd be a really good thing to do. We only have 45 minutes to do the sugya, and we're kind of, you know, moving quickly as is, but in other words, that really would be, you know, again, if we're doing the sugya during regular Seder, like, for example, when we spoke about Bali Rabbi Yimat, we brought about 4 or 5 sheets of the post to hold that he holds it's not a kiyum of coming, but rather it's an isser having it of shalom and reshusah. Mashen Kedah and Rebbeinu David, we have 4 or 5 Rebbeinu David that, you know, suggest the theory over and over again, therefore, okay. Two more quick nafkaminas. There's an interesting discussion if a guy hands another guy a piece of Eva Menachat. One guy says to the other guy, Christopher says to Peter, can you have that Eva Menachat burger? Now Peter is a religious Christian, you know, keeps his 7 Noahide laws. Is he allowed to hand to, you know, Christopher the Eva Menachat burger? So, what would you suggest on your own? If Logite Mitchell is its own Isser, it's being Machshel, so the guy says no such thing. Because why? Because the guy is not never Machayev in one of these 7 mitzvahs. However, the only way you can begin to understand the Mogen of Rabbi made such a claim, I'm not the Mogen of Rabbi, the guy made such a claim, would be if you believe what the Eber is what? Now it's still surprising. Why? Because the Torah had to be Makadish to me with a pasuk of Lifteiver, that what? That there's an Isser called Lifteiver, which means I get a Chelik Ba'aveira. So exactly how we're going to understand that is still a good question. I have a suggestion. I'm not sure how much I like it. It's going to require a lot more thought, but, you know, sorry about that. One could imagine, again, if it's a big mashal, you can even imagine, you can get off the ground. Maybe one could argue that when the Torah creates the Isser of Lifteiver, it's not telling you there's an Isser, it's creating a Metzius. In other words, the Torah is not telling you there's an Isser called Lifteiver, rather the Torah is telling you just a general principle about life, which is if you help people in Averis, you're credited with part of their Averis. Maybe not. I would love to find someone who has 613 mitzvos and doesn't include Lifteiver. I would love to find that, because that'd be exactly what we're trying to suggest. It sounds like an unbelievable Chiddush Prima Gadim either way, but it's worthwhile to think that. Again, you know, okay, I'm doing a lot here in a short amount of time. One last potential nafkamina. There's an unbelievable machlokas that the Achronim have, which I think really summarizes Hakira as clear as possible. The Achronim that people quote are the Yad Malachi versus the Pri Yitzchak. In the following case, let's say I give a Nazir a glass of wine, and he's about to drink it, and he's like, wait a minute, should be doing this, I'm a Nazir. Come forbid me to drink wine. And therefore, doesn't the idea, does the shuva. Everybody, I give him wine, and someone says, his mother comes over and says, yeah. You know, Shimshon, you're a Nazir, what are you doing there? You know, Shimshon's like, oh my goodness, it's your vow, thank you very much, Ima. And puts the wine down, doesn't drink it, says, and rips off the head of a fox or a tiger or whatever, a lion, I don't know. Ties foxes together and burns them up. And something else, you know, expresses his rebelliousness instead of drinking wine, you know, getting drunk at a college party, instead he lights animals up. Whatever he does. Whatever the case may be. So would I have violated Lifnei or not? So the Yad Malachi writes, absolutely. Once you give him the wine, you violate. What's the svara for that? The machshel, exactly. I'm giving him the wine. The Pri Yitzchak writes, interestingly enough, he writes, when I gave him the wine, I didn't yet violate it. I only violated l'mafreya once he drank. Yeah. And that l'chora could be a chelik ba'aveira. What I'd like to suggest is maybe one could even argue a step beyond the Pri Yitzchak. The Pri Yitzchak writes, that it's a chelik ba'avera when only lemachrei. Once the nazir drinks the wine, then retroactively my maisa has halachic relevant and influence. What I'd like to suggest is a possibility even beyond the priyatzah, in terms of the spectrum over here, beyond the priyatzah, and that's exactly, you know, that's not sure if there's a possibility to use the special thing. If this is the priyatzah from over here, let's go one step further, which is, not the mafreya do I violate, because it's the pa'ula that makes it over. Maybe one can argue it's b'shas, b'shaito, that when the nazir drinks the wine, it's not that retroactively my giving it to him becomes an avera, but rather what? His drinking of wine is fully what? My avera is the drinking the wine. It's not that retroactively when I give the nazir the wine, my action is now put in limbo. If he drinks the wine, it's not there. If he doesn't drink the wine, it's not in there. And we have other situations in limbo. That's the pre-Yitzchak practice, it's in limbo. Limushal. If I let a wild dog run around, unguarded. So if it bites you, I didn't have it. If it doesn't bite you, so I'm not really a master. I mean, it's inappropriate behavior, but I'm not halachically a master. It's in limbo. Halachically, I've got a kula which may or may not trigger that. I think a Snapple bottle here, if I throw it up in the air and hits the floor, there's a 50% chance it's not going to break. Right? That's an example bottle for it. It's a machine that sends up, last which kids are dropping Snapple bottles off the gym, and they're trying to see if it would break some wood, something like that. That's not wrong, but I haven't heard that one. Good idea. When I was younger, they talk about dropping Snapple bottles, I think they wouldn't break. I don't know. I assume they would break, but they're closed. You did that. I know that. The kids are such confusing, man. So by whatever the case, I drop something delicate, and at 50-50 it's going to break. So 50-50, did I do the mic? Well, whatever it is. Point is over here, maybe we go, it's not just it's in limbo, but rather the only time I get the avera is when you drink, not because retroactively I'm giving you the avera, meaning it's not that my pa'ula was giving up, but what's my pa'ula? Hang on. I wanted to use that. Let's get myself. I lost myself a little bit. Now the question is, if this is really true, that somehow, that one methodological step back, and I was thinking, you just think that's safe or hit him, which is very relevant now. Again, classic methodology would dictate, if there are two people involved, if I hand you something, us, or you drink it, is the spot when I'm me of handing it to you, or is the spot when I'm you of drinking it? Is it that I did something wrong by giving it to you, or I did something wrong by, when you drink it, that maisa isser comes to me? And that's the same classic methodology you have in the when the matik damages the nizak, you have to pay him back because you damaged or because he got damaged. But in the midst of shalach months, in the midst of to give or have him receive. And again, like we've seen many times over the years, same thing over here as well. Listen, Eber, is it that I am doing something wrong, or is that what you did wrong gets attributed to me? We put the spotlight on when we have two people. Now the question comes back to Sefer Chinuch to suggest it's a lav she'ein bo maisa. Why is there ein bo maisa? What's the svara? Right. Maybe one step further than the Yisra. It could be when the nazir drinks the wine, I'm accredited with part of his avera, not the avera of being machshil. Not even retroactively, like the Priyitzchak said, of having the Aver of the Havaris HaKhefet, but rather what? If I'm getting a Chelek in the Isser, who's the one who physically did the Pa'ula Isser? Who did the Maisa Isser? The Nazir. Yet I am getting what Avera? Avera not of the Iver, but rather of drinking wine as a Nazir. If that's the case, that's a perfect way to, the best language I would like to talk about would be, it's a lav she'ein bo maisa. Why? Because I did no halachic maisa at all. Who did the halachic maisa? The other guy. We'll stop here.